Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Welcome to the very first call of 2015. Tuesday, January 6, 2015 has a nice ring to it. The end of an era. 2014 is officially in the books, and we are on to bigger and better production. More transformation, more inspiration, more leads, more quality clients, and more people that we can collaborate and connect with to create inspiration, prosperity, and reciprocity in free enterprise. It is my unequivocal privilege to be here with you on tonight's first Tuesday night call of 2015. I remember saying this back in 1998, welcome to the first call of 1998, and that's when I did start this call many years ago. I've had some great guests on this call over the years, and I'm in the process now of booking some of the upcoming speakers that you will hear on the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Month. I have Adam Scheck, who is an exceptional entrepreneur, success coach, therapist, and someone of influence and affluence that you can absolutely receive some great value from on this call. I will have Dr. Joe Dispenza on this call later in the year. I'm in the process of booking an event on the East Coast with Dr. Joe. For those of you who do not know Dr. Joe, he is the author of a highly inspiring book, Evolve the Brain. He's also featured in the movie, What the Bleep. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I'm riding shotgun here. I have David Hurricane Harris sitting right here next to me at my desk, who's dropping in watching me do this live call with you. He said David is one of my personal assistants, and he's sharing a little collaboration with. How are you doing tonight, David? So David is in the background riding shotgun on the Stagecoach to Prosperity. So I'm going to cover the announcements. This Saturday I will be in beautiful Pleasanton, California. I know that it's snowing around the country in many places, but here out in God's country in beautiful Northern California, it was in the 70s today. So if you want to come experience some great weather, I know many of you are heading to Palm Springs in a little less than a week, but if you want to experience some great weather and a great inspirational event, this Saturday I will be at the DoubleTree in beautiful Pleasanton, California. That's where many of the professional athletes that play in the San Francisco Bay Area reside, in the East Bay. On January 15th, which is a Thursday, and I don't usually do midweek events, but the exception is I'll be at the Hard Rock Cafe for over 900 tickets sold, for Thursday, January 15th from 12 to 4, and the all-star lineup, the number 3 and number 6 income earners in a soon-to-be billion-dollar company, I will be sharing the stage with them. That means that multiple millions have flown through those bank accounts. Alexis Romano and Susan Sly, I'll be gracing the stage with those two exceptional entrepreneurs. We will be doing a four-hour event from 12 until 4 o'clock. What a fantastic opportunity. We're practically standing room only, and there are tickets available at goldenmastermind.com, and we should be able to fit everyone in for that event. On January 24th, I'll be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, one of my most favorite cities in the United States, with Alexis Romano and C.G. Siddons. January 31st, my first ever trip to El Paso, Texas, the boot capital of the world. February 7th, Spartanburg, South Carolina. February 14th, Los Angeles. February 28th, Long Island, New York. Now, I have many of my events booked all the way into May. I do have one open date, so if you're on this call and you would like me to speak for your team, your group, your circle of influence, I do have March 31st available. That is the only open date I have between now and in June. So contact me directly, 209-932-0227. I just recently started a new group with Carolyn Olson called Guilt Cleanse. For those of you who have not joined that group, that is a closed group that is available to all of you. All you have to do is request it. We've grown to over 1,500 members in a little less than 3 weeks. It is a great place to release some of your guilt, shame, abandonment issues, overwhelmed feelings that keep you doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. We're having great content written in that group. Many people are starting to really air some of the events that have shaped their feelings and enhancing their ability to articulate their feelings would allow them to write much better. From that kind of clarity, a great opportunity for you to really release some guilt. Guilt cleanse. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Before I do that, my last message is for those of you who are seeking one-on-one and personal coaching, I have raised my rates And if you'd like to get a hold of me as soon as possible, because I'm about to speak in front of 900 people, you can reach me directly at 209-932-0227. Many of the events I'll be speaking this year will be standing room only. You definitely want to buy your tickets early online, and I do accept cash at the door. But just factor that many of the cities I'll be speaking, they'll be standing room only, so get your tickets early. Do not procrastinate. Be organized. Get systemized, methodical, and operate in a state of flow. I'm going to cover three topics tonight, which really blend into one topic. I've never covered this content before. It's called creative, competitive, and compassionate. And you must be creative. What is creativity? Creativity is your ability to create ideas and turn them into results. Now, your creativity is going to come from your right brain. Now, you also have to understand that a lot of your creativity has been squeezed out of you. It's been washed out of you. It's been guilted out of you, and you've forgotten how to be creative. A large percent of the population tiptoes quietly through life and unfortunately arrives safely at their grave, living the greatest pain, the pain of regret. Remember when you were a child and you had the 64-box color crayon set with a little sharpener on the side? Remember that box? Remember you learned how to color back in the days? Remember chalk? When you had chalk on sidewalks, did you ever paint on the walls or did you ever draw on the walls? I had a color pencil set, and I used to draw great battles of history with my color pencil set on command from my own memory of memories perhaps that I had visited one of those battles at some point because I was very creative. Remember when you had imaginary conversations with imaginary friends? I once took my sock monkey and put it in the freezer. My mother found it a day or so later and asked me what my monkey was doing in the freezer. I said I sent him to the North Pole. That's how creative we were as children. And we didn't really understand how not to be creative until we started to hear the word no. We heard grow up, get real, stop chasing rainbows. We were told to pay attention, stop dreaming. A lot of our creativity was squeezed out of us. Then we entered the educational egoic system that taught us how to operate from left to right, our left brain to our right brain. And we forgot how to operate in our right brain. We only had a few classes in high school, junior high and grade school. Art in many schools has been taken out of the curriculum. Music in many schools is now taken out of the curriculum. And we don't really know how to be creative anymore because we have forgotten how to dream. It is unequivocally in 2015 the time to get your dreams off the shelf, create a vision bigger than your problems, create a very simple, systematic, methodical approach to living the good life. One of my great friends that I had the privilege of sharing the stage with on six different occasions, the great Jim Rohn, was famous for asking this question, what constitutes the good life? Well, that would be like beauty in the eye of the beholder. Now, when you become relaxed, when you become released, when you start to find your zone, when you start to find your inner game, when you start to let go, when you're not overwhelmed, you let go of your guilt and shame, then you can start to become creative. Your creativity is your ability to design your life, your ability to see on a canvas of life that which is not visible. Now, when I finish this call tonight, I'm going to go down to one of my commercial properties, which is my own personal museum. I've had a very good friend of mine who's a world-class painter painting my four favorite athletes of all time on one section of my wall. The great Joe Montana, my favorite football player of all time. Pistol Pete Maravich playing in a Louisiana State University uniform, the number one scorer all time in NCAA basketball history. The great Steve Prefontaine, who I had the privilege of watching run on two different occasions when I was a seventh grader in junior high. I saw the great Steve Prefontaine, the first athlete to ever wear a set of waffle shoes called Cortez, the very first pair of Nikes. I saw him run in those in 1970, and so I have, and my favorite baseball player, Stan Musial. That was a dream of mine to put my four favorite athletes, created by one of my best friends, on a wall. I mean, that's poetry. Creativity is the ability to articulate your feelings into words, the ability to create prose, the ability to write a song, to write a book, the ability to articulate your feelings into multiple creativities. If you desire to become a multipreneur, then you have to have the skills, habits, and mindset. And one of the greatest skills that you can develop is the ability to dream, followed with the ability to follow through. And your ability to dream, you have to have dreams bigger than your problems, but you also have to have reality in your dreams. If you're a big dreamer, then you have to have big action. For those of you that have already set big goals, then you have to have an action that will allow you to create the goal. And oftentimes people have goals bigger than their ability, and then they get so overwhelmed that they're disappointed. So there's a place where your creativity is either realistic or unrealistic, and only you can decipher and determine what you are capable of achieving. The great Napoleon Hill was famous for saying, "What a man of mind can believe, he can achieve." Your belief is going to be your sense of certainty. In other words, your ability to paint on canvas to a reality in real life. And don't ever let anyone talk you out of your creativity. Many people will tell you to grow up, get real, and stop chasing rainbows. Your creativity is your ability to intuit, your ability to trust. You have to be able to trust your feelings, trust your inner knowing, and let go of your logical left brain, your egoic mind, and be able to rely on your innate ability to know. When you understand that you know what you know and you stop doubting what you know, then you'll live a lot less time in doubt. Doubt is a space between fear and faith. It keeps you safe and it keeps you disappointed. And as you begin to let go of your doubt and move into your inner knowing, and that's when you really know that you know. That means you stop doubting what you know, and you don't require outside influences to follow through in what you already know. And when you come from know, a known know, K-N-O-W-N, K-N-O-W, a known know, then you will operate in the hands-free zone. That means you live in a place called trust and or faith. And in that place, you stop doubting what you could paint on canvas. You stop doubting your ability to attract. Now, those of you on tonight's call, here's a creativity exercise that will really allow you to stretch yourself. Now, most of you are in a leveraged business. Your income is going to be a direct reflection of your ability to attract people who you can collaborate with and create results with. You do not get paid for being friends with people. You do not get paid for time. You do not get paid for effort. You get paid for results. Now, all the other aboves are components of results. You get paid for creativity. You don't get paid for being perfect, you get paid for being effective. Now, if you're neurotic about your creativity and you can only do it perfectly, then you are screwed before you start. It's not about being perfect, it's about being effective, it's about being good. But if you're so consumed with being great before you're ever good, then you'll be overwhelmed before you start and you'll never get off the launching pad. You require the ability to master the most simple of disciplines required, the ability to believe. Once you start to believe, you'll begin to attract a different type of person to your reality. You require success seekers, not people who are wishers, not people who are thinkers, but people who can produce, people who do. You also require who can live in a be state. That means right here, right now. And the more that you're able to be in that emotional, etheric, energetic state where you can attract from a higher resolution of energy, you'll begin to attract people who will not require your mentorship, who will not require your input. You want to be able to attract this year two or three people who are highly creative, highly organized, highly disciplined, and the type of person that is a multitasker who can produce on command. The ability to produce on command separates you from your anxiety. When you begin to live in the hands-free zone, then there's no separation between you and the result. But when you doubt your faith, and then you'll stay in the contradiction that most people stay in, doubt. 1% doubt does not equal 100% faith. That is an old statement. That's an adage. However, I will tell you this. You're not going to be in 100% faith 100% of the time because of the human factor. You're going to have MINI, meltdowns and breakdowns. But instead of having MANY, M-A-N-Y, it's understandable to have a few mini ones. That means little ones. It means your bounce back ability is much quicker than your typical relapse state. If you've been addicted to a set of emotions that keep you doing the same thing over and over, and 2014 was a disappointing year, and you think that writing your goals on paper is going to be the recipe to success, that's a component, but that will not allow you to arrive at the land of promise. The land of promise is paved with these two situations. Discipline 101 and Tenacity 102. In 2015, you must be tenacious about your objectives. You must be tenacious about your goals. You must be really committed and decisive. Now, this is not new knowledge. It's innate knowledge. When you become innate, when you know, then there's no separation between you and the result. The more you understand that, the less time you'll spend overwhelmed, the less time you'll spend in doubt, the less time you'll spend in worry. Worry is an overwhelmed state. I had some worries today. I'm the human factor. I even asked one of my assistants to give me some input. Chris Shar has been my capable assistant for going on 4 years now, and there are times that I allow him to be my mentor. I'll ask other people questions sometimes because I'm in doubt. That's the human factor. But your bounce-back ability and my bounce-back ability is very quick. And the more you understand how to be and stay in the flow and in the game, the less time you'll spend out of the game in an outer body experience, overwhelmed, doubting your doubt, so you end up disappointed. Now, when you start to master the simple discipline of being yourself rather than trying to be someone else, then you will start to attract to your reality the people that you require to collaborate to create leverage businesses with. Leverage business comes from real estate, internet marketing, direct selling, network marketing, intellectual products. And the more you understand how to create money in a flow zone, in the hands-free zone, then you'll continue to attract people from your creativity. You cannot attract from your left brain, your egoic mind. From that type of state, you will attract people who will be as overwhelmed as you are. You can also not attract people from an addictive state. When you're in an addictive emotional state, you'll attract codependent people, people below your vibrational energy, and other addicts to fulfill your disappointment. As you begin to step out of your emotional addictions and your physical addictions, you'll begin to create a whole different kind of energetic vibration that will allow you to attract a different type of person to your reality than you attracted in 2014. Now, it's 2015. Here's a very simple exercise for you tonight. Before you go to bed, before you rest, practice the word called rest rather than sleep. Rest creates a different kind of REM state in your brainwave. When you teach yourself how to rest rather than tossing and turning, you will not wake up exhausted. You will not believe what the medical community teaches you. You must have 8 hours of sleep. You can operate very effectively on a lot less rest than you can by sleeping, tossing and turning, waking up with subluxations or headaches from your tension mandibular joint, or any other situations you manifest by going to bed overwhelmed. When you go to bed overwhelmed in guilt, shame, or any kind of emotional state that's not conducive to rest, then you end up in a theta-beta state in your sleep. But as you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of the control that you're out of control of, you start to operate in a whole different vibrational, emotional, etheric, energetic state that affects your ability to attract in the now. In any given moment, any one of you in tonight's call can become the next top-tier producer in your companies, in your circle of influence. I have coached exceptional people from many walks of life who I've watched in the model that I teach, the 6-month, the 12-month, the 18-month, and the 24-month model to go from zero to hero. Now, if that is you and you are here and you are now, this could be your unequivocal year. In 1995, I entered the year almost $100,000 in credit card debt, in the $99,000 range, just a little shy of $100,000. I finished that year at multiple six figures, paid off over six figures worth of debt, and had my first seven-figure year the following year. It's because of who I attracted. Over a seven-year period, I had been practicing the simple discipline of the art of attraction. I did not master it overnight. I had flashes of brilliance. I had a law of my own money lid where I was not able to climb above $15,000 a month, and I would tend to bounce between $3,000 a month and $15,000 a month, attracting people who would disappoint me. Because I wasn't really attracting from my creativity. I was attracting from my will. I was trying to will it to happen. It had to happen. I needed it to happen. I hoped it happened. I wanted it to happen, but I wasn't coming from a state that would allow me to create from creativity. And as I started to become a lot more creative, the ability to write, speak, and articulate began to improve. And as I got a lot clearer in my message, my spoken word, my unconscious word, my telepathic telepathic words I began to attract from a different state of reality. As you begin to do this, if you have a mixed message, you'll attract people to fulfill your doubt. When you're in a mixed message, that's what you get. You're living in a state called doubt. You're sure, but you're not sure. You hope it happens, and you know it's going to happen. It's going to happen, but you're not sure it's when it's going to happen. When you live in that kind of overwhelmed state, in an unorganized, undisciplined state, winging it to success, the land of promise is paved for disappointment. As you begin to let go of control, the land of promise is paved with results. And results are what compound. If you're in a leveraged business, especially network marketing, the superstar myth has been debunked in the last 15 years. About 15 to 20 years ago, you had to be an absolute superstar to achieve not only six figures in a calendar year, but a six figures in a calendar month. It just did not happen that frequently. Now, many of you are in companies, organizations, circles of influence, cultures, and tribes. You're watching people of average ability start to create exceptional results, and that could be you. You have to ask yourself, why not me? Why not now? Your law of attraction is to be a direct reflection of your ability to believe that you can attract people of influence and affluence. You can attract people who are already successful. You can attract people who are multitaskers, people who are organized and disciplined. But if you tell yourself what you're not, if you say, I'm not, so I can't, then you get to be right. And if you're more concerned with being right than you are getting rich, then you'll stay stuck. But once again, as you let go of control and you start to be a lot more creative, see, your creative thoughts are a different kind of belief. But when you keep saying, I'm not sure if I can, I've never had this happen, my problem is, when you continue to edify your problems, then you attract your problems. When you begin to edify a different type of results, then a small window opens up in the universe and people start to fall through the cracks. And this will show, the results will show up by who shows up in your inbox, your lead box, who begins to ask you questions. You'll start to close in one call. A one call closes when someone comes to you and says, I'm ready to sign up, I'm ready to join, I'm ready to start, I'm ready to buy. You'll receive some of those. Those are the universe rewarding you for your faith. Ye of so little faith. That's what so many people have, ye little faith. These are the people who tiptoe quietly through life and hope something changes for them. They wish for a miracle. Well, that's great to dream like that, but it typically doesn't happen. Your mindset, your habits, and your discipline are going to make or break you. But if you have average habits and great talent, well, you're probably not going to get the land of promise. You can be the most talented person on the ship, the most talented person in the on-deck circle, you can be the most talented person in the stadium, but if you're undisciplined and wing it, then you're not going to attract the kind of people that you require. You must be competitive. This is part two of the three-tier call tonight. You must be competitive. What does that mean? When you say you're not competitive, what you really say is you don't care about the outcome. Being competitive, you have to be able to compete with yourself. I seldom ever compete with anyone else. Now, I grew up as an athlete in four sports for 6 years through junior high and high school, 2 years of junior college basketball. My father's a Hall of Fame coach. Competitivism was drilled into me. I am extremely competitive, but I used to be competitive from a very unhealthy standpoint. I used to be so competitive that I would feel envy and jealousy when other people would succeed, which was not a healthy way to attract people to my reality. I used to be so competitive that I would do things that were undisciplined. I used to be so competitive and so consumed with winning that I didn't master the skills required to be a professional. I was a very good athlete, but I never was great because I wasn't ever really disciplined in one sport to become great at it. I was very good at four sports, which actually became a curse because I never really focused on one sport. Now, in business, I learned to focus on this, how to ask the questions in a sequence. I became very disciplined in that modality and became very skilled at selling. Sales and marketing is the highest paid profession in the world. The network marketing and direct sales industry, many leaders and companies go to great lengths to seduce and talk you out of learning how to sell. They teach you how to share and how to invite. Even though those are good models, you have to learn how to sell. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Imagine if you were a professional baseball player and you said to your opponent, hey, I'm not really a baseball player. I'm just up here to take a few cuts. Well, that's not very competitive. You're not really edifying your profession. You must be proud of yourself and proud of your profession. You want to become a professional at whatever it is you're doing. If you're an internet marketer, you want to become a professional internet marketer. If you're a network marketer, you want to become a professional network marketer. marketer. And broken down, what does it require to be a professional in network marketing? Sales skills, marketing skills, the ability to attract, the ability to mentor a few people, and most importantly, the ability to create a culture. Within that culture, you develop your leadership ability. The ability to lead is nothing more than the ability to create influence. And as you start to have influence and affluence, especially over your unconscious state, because the most important you lead is self. But if you're not disciplined in your leadership ability and you're not showing up in your own business, then all you have is a wish. There's a big difference between a realized dream and a wish. You might wish it to happen. You can wish to win the lottery, but the law of probability of you winning the lottery is pretty slim. But you still want to play because anyone can win. There's been actually people that have won the lottery more than once. And it's better to be good than it is lucky. And the more you develop your skills, habits, and mindset, then you'll start to be able to develop your brand. Your brand is really who you are. It's what sets you apart. It's the emotional, etheric energy that says, I am good enough. That's what you're really branding is you. You're branding your self-esteem. That becomes your brand. Then as you build your esteem and build your brand, you can also build your corporation. You can build a corporation behind yourself. You can brand an idea. But you have to be able to brand yourself first. That is me and I am free. You have to be able to come from that emotional, etheric, energetic state that you live in the hands-free zone and you live fearless, not fearful. Fear is when you get overwhelmed and then your fear creates anxiety. Anxiety is an overwhelmed state typically based on anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and an overwhelmed state based on events that you give significance to. As you begin to let go of the significance of an event, then you can reshape your belief about what happened to you. But when you hold on to an event and you also continue to say, well, I don't really know what happened in my childhood. My entire childhood was a blur. I don't have a really good memory. Your awareness about cause and effect, why you do what you do, is what allows you to step out of an emotionally addicted state. And as you start to develop a belief in self bigger than problems, then you can start to attract other success seekers who you can collaborate with. And to create the compounded effect, the synergistic event, and to create the quantum leap where sum is greater than whole of parts, you require about 2 to 3 people to show up in your reality in either a calendar quarter, which is a 90-day period, a calendar 6-month period, or a calendar year, any multitude of it, because the right 3 people coming together creates a mastermind. A mastermind is one of more of like mind coming together for common cause. And as you start to create your mastermind alliance, and you will start to change your attractor factor. Before you go to bed tonight, create a vision of the ideal candidate that you seek to collaborate with. Use your creativity. Use words of empowerment. I seek to attract to my reality like-minded success seekers who are very innovative. I seek to attract to my reality like-minded success seekers who are multitaskers, who are self-starters, who are self-directed, who have influence and affluence. But if your left-brain, analytical, egoic mind says, yeah, but I haven't had that happen to me, if you start to talk yourself out of an opportunity, then you will continue to be and stay disappointed. When you say, I haven't, so I can't, that's the most common commonality that people use to talk themselves out of an idea. Your ideas turned into results or would start to create your brand. Your brand should also be a direct reflection of your creativity. Do you have a corporation? Do you have the colors put together of your corporation? Do you have a logo? Do you have apparel started to lined up? I have my own apparel line. Apparel meaning your own set of clothing, your own uniqueness. Do you have your brand on Facebook? Do you have your brand on your internet? Do you have your brand on a website? I mean, this is your brand. Your brand is you. Your brand really signifies who you are. Do you have a brand that is an acronym? GMS Incorporated, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. MHT, More Heart Than Talent. MB, Millionaire Blueprint. BTS, Breakthroughs to Success. Now, I own 2 brands that are trademarked and are officially registered, More Heart Than Talent and Breakthroughs to Success. I own those brands. By law, no one can use those brands because that is my brand, my signature product. Your signature, that's the way you sign your name. That is your autograph. That is, and I collect autographs because scarcity creates value. But your autograph, it must be valuable because you're the only one who can sign it. The way you sign your check, I mean, that's you. That's you, baby. That's you. Sign it. You want to be able to do a book signing. That's your autograph. That is also part of your brand. And the more you understand how to brand yourself, the more you start to be yourself. Branding yourself is really about being yourself. It's not you can't do yourself. You have to be yourself. You're not a human doing. You are a human being. That also means in your competitiveness, you have to learn to relax into the present. You have to be able to relax in your body. If you're overwhelmed, if you're extremely hyper, if you're in an outer body state, it's going to be tough to be competitive because you're worried about the outcome. You can't create the outcome you desire by worrying about it. You can't capture what hasn't happened, and you can't get people to produce for you. And the most important aspect in competitiveness is a task well done. It's not always whether you won or lost. It's how well you performed in the competition. Because performance in competition is what allows you to have game time ability or jungle skills. The more you learn jungle skills, it allows you to end up in the land of paradise. If you've recently left the cow pasture, the sheep pasture of where most people reside, we're in the safe zone where most people live, and you want to move into the hands-free zone where the land of paradise is, and you have to go through the jungle. The land of jungle has many perils in it. You have to be able to adapt and adjust as you go through this process. But if you get overwhelmed about the possibility of what might happen, then you'll shut down, procrastinate, get ready to get ready, and burn your most valuable commodity, time. And if you're one of these people that say, I'm not a competitive person, if you're one of these people say, I don't like confrontation, you have to be able to confront yourself. Confrontation is one of those words, it's like discipline, it has more than one meaning. Now, as we grew up, we learned that we were going to get disciplined. That might mean we're going to get spanked, we're going to get beaten, we're going to sit in the dunce with a dunce cap with our nose in a circle, we're going to have to write over 5,000 times, I'll never do this situation again. We've been disciplined, but the discipline you require means disciple of. And so not only being competitive, you have to be able to, you have to have confrontation skills. Confrontation skills doesn't mean you confront your adversary, but you have to be able to confront yourself. Confrontation diplomatically is also a skill you require to confront your teammates, to confront the situation, to confront your prospects, because prospects are going to lie to you. They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. They're going to give you excuses, and you have to be able to confront the excuse. But if your unconscious consciousness says, I don't like confrontation, I don't want to offend someone, I want people to like me, I don't want to alienate people, I don't want to bother people, and if you consistently say I'm sorry, then you telegraph how non-competitive you are. You have to compete with yourself. Task well done, TWD, task well done. You have to be able to create task well done. That means pride. Not the kind of pride that takes you out of the game, the kind of pride that keeps you in the game. Because the way you're going to stay in the game is you're going to get compensated. And if you don't get compensated, you can only live on DEBT for so long. Living in debt will never get you to the land of promise. Being able to create profit, because that's what you get paid for, profit, through leveraged people, through multiple layers of pay, is how you're going to be able to create the good life. And if you've owned a small business, typically that small business owns you, and you run out of your most valuable commodity, time. You have to be able to attract customers, clients, that you can create profit with. And the better you become at service and value, the more you can ask for your fees, the more you can ask for your time. And your time must be valuable. If your time isn't valuable, it means you're not valuable. So confrontation is going to be one of your greatest assets, the ability to evaluate objectively what you did or didn't do in a day, the ability to take a look objectively where your shortcomings are, the ability to take a look at where you want to refine and hone your skills. And if you don't master the most basics of skills, the ability to ask questions in a sequence, that means how you lead a conversation. That is a MUST, a must. Your communication skills are going to be a direct reflection of three situations. Your words, the words you use in communication and conversation, that will represent 7% of how you communicate. 38% of how you communicate is the tone of your words, the way you enunciate, the way you inflect, the way you say the words. Do you say them real soft and real weak because you're not very creative and not very competitive because you're afraid you might offend someone or alienate someone? Or are you so angry in your competitive nature that you're so committed to winning you miss learning how to create the skills? The skills will make or break you. If you don't master the skills, number one, emotional skills. Emotional skills that keep you from procrastinating, being addicted, and being overwhelmed, where you're in the hands-free zone, in the flow, in the present, and in the now. A real skill is not to worry, but if you worry about your worry and worry about worrying about your worry, worry has no benefit. And if you spend a lot of time worrying, don't even know what you're worrying about, then all you're doing is addressing and exhausting your adrenal system, your immune system, and your lymphatic system, and then you'll be and stay exhausted. And when you begin to let go of what you can't control and you start to confront situations diplomatically for more win-win situations, you spend less time being right and more time competing with yourself rather than competing with your adversary or your enemy or the person next to you, because you want to be able to compete with yourself where you're a professional, where you're able to compete with yourself to a task well done. You're so competitive with yourself that you take great pride in the task that you begin to master. But if you can't look over the day and say to yourself what you accomplished, then you didn't accomplish a whole lot. If you can't account for your time, then you're not very competitive. If your time isn't laid out for you, if you don't have dedicated blocks of time, then you're not really an entrepreneur. Case in point, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I coached 14 hours of one-on-one coaching, closed 2 additional sales, put out a couple of fires, had a real estate challenge, had a leak in my roof, had a leak in my roof, created a bad situation, my plaster, and looked it over with a couple of my employees. Also handled one of my cars that was a challenge, assisted 2 addicts who were in relapse stage, and all of a sudden it's 7:30, task well done. I can look back over the course of the day. I can be very proud of what I accomplished today. But for me, that's an average day in the average life of my average entrepreneurship. I don't take anything too personally. I don't get too overwhelmed. And I can devote a lot of time to my craft. When I'm done, I am D-O-N-E, baby. I am finito. I'm not going to take anything that happened to my rest tonight, because to about midnight, I get to start all over. That's called the bank of time. At 12 o'clock midnight, PST, Pacific Standard Time, in beautiful Stockton, California, in the San Joaquin Valley. Yes, that is correct. Many people make fun of me for living in my dusty cow town, Stockton, California. Why do I live here? Because I can. That's the only reason I know. I don't have to tell anyone why I live where I want to live. I live and do what I do because I can. You want to be able to do that because of your creativity, your competitiveness, and then you also must be this as a business person and a soul having a human experience. You must have compassion and passion. You're going to have teammates who are lost in the sauce. You're going to see people standing on the street who are homeless and say, "We'll work for food." I've always said to them, "Will you work for money?" It's interesting how people work for food, but they won't work for money. You can have compassion for people, but you also have to attract people who have passion. And your compassionate nature, that means you're able to relate with people. Your ability to relate is also a big component of your ability to attract. But if you're not relatable, if people see you as too angry or too perfect or you're too neat, then you're not relatable. But fanfare for the common man means you can do situations that I like to get paid for my time, but there's also situations that I'll devote my time to people where it's deserved. I'll devote my time to addicts in situations like that who ask me for assistance with recovery, but I also know where to devote my time where it's deserved, not just needed. And I understand the value of my time. Do you understand the value of your time? And when you're done with your production time, can you relax without guilt? And see, you have to be able to do that. And in your compassion, fanfare for the common man, you also have to understand this. There's a statement that says don't get attached. Well, within the context of that, you're still going to get attached because there's certain people that you feel compassion for. But if you start to own their business and they don't own their business, then they own your emotional state, and you have to be able to separate this. I learned real quickly, pay attention to what people do, not say. I learned real quickly to put energy where it's deserved, not needed. I also learned real quickly that everyone's going to succeed. And I started to put my energy into other success seekers that had some of the same emotions that I have. And I'm compassionate for a lot of people. I'm compassionate for animal shelters, for people who are down on their luck. But I also understand that I can't save the world. So I'm going to devote my passion and my compassion to the people that I feel merited and the causes I feel merited. Now, that's totally up to you. That's like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. But that compassion you have, people can feel that. That passion you have, people can feel it. When you are compassionate for someone, it doesn't mean that you're enabling them. It doesn't mean that you're codependent. So when I in the guilt cleanse, when I read people's stories, I'm compassionate for them because I can identify with their pain. Now, I'm not going to own their pain, but I know what it feels like in their pain. I can read people's stories in some of my groups, and I can see what they've been through, and I'll cry with them, but I'm not going to cry very long because I'm not going to feel sad or sorry for someone. I want to be able to identify with them. I can listen to a certain song by Miranda Lambert who said, "The House That Made Me," that song she has about talking about being broken. I can cry in that song. There's certain songs that I can listen to and certain events and stories I can read where the tears will come down my eyes. I can recall past events that I know I haven't completely let go of. Tears will come down my eyes because I still have guilt, shame, and overwhelmed feelings about some of the situations that I created and other people created. And I still have feelings about that. But compassion is when you really feel someone's feelings. Not only do you feel those feelings, but you know how those feelings feel. And sometimes you can reach through someone, you can transcend someone and be able to make a difference in their life. However, in your compassion, you must also realize that a lot of people don't really want it as bad as you do. And when you get attached in your compassion to their weakness, and when you begin to see their possibilities and you start to see more possibilities than they see, and then you get attached to them, that's how you stay disappointed. So compassion is not a black and white world, just like creativity isn't black and white, just like being competitive isn't black and white. Nothing is black and white. One of the biggest downfalls I had is I grew up in a black and white world. I was told that if I didn't like it, don't let the door hit my ass on the way out. I was taught a lot of right and wrongs. I didn't learn how to live in grays. I was an obsessive, compulsive addict for much of my life, and I also was not rewarded for tasks well done. I was conditioned that no matter what I did, it was never good enough. That created a very bad model for me that I began to model throughout my entire 20s. I was never able to relax, I was never able to let go, and I would use alcohol and drugs to douse my feelings of low self-esteem. I would mask my low self-esteem with high self-confidence and ego bigger than my bank account. I alienated a lot of people with my unresolved anger, proved I was right, and ended up rock bottom and broke on 3 different occasions. The pain was great enough eventually. I began to let go. I started to understand let go and let God. I started to understand what it meant to have spirituality. I started to have compassion for other addicts and other people who were down on their luck, but I also started to understand that only in the law of the few, only a few people are going to do what is required to change in whatever modality they're in. Only a few people are going to get clean and sober. Only a few people are going to make it to the top of any profession. Only a few people are going to be in the Hall of Fame. Only a few people are going to be 7-figure income earners. Only a few people are going to write bestsellers. I started to understand that. I learned also in my creativity and my competitiveness, I let go of trying to be the best. Being the best was a waste of energy. I realized that there's always someone better than me right around the corner, but I learned to out-habit people. I learned that by having great habits, I could start to become my best. My best was much more important than being the best. I learned that being the best was a very overrated state that kept me disappointed. Being the number one income earner in a company, that's fantastic. But what's wrong with being number 5, number 9, number 19? I mean, you're still going to live a great life as long as you can learn to be creative, to be competitive, and to be compassionate. And you obviously know you can't take it with you, so you have to really learn this. You have to learn how to let go. You have to learn to devote your energy to where you're going to get some kind of feedback, emotional and physical and perhaps financial. You have to learn how to devote that kind of energy. You have to learn how to devote these skills to the art of of connecting. Devote the skills to the art of creating, the art of collaborating. And when you begin to attract other success seekers that you can collaborate with, that's what creates the compounded effect. That is what gives you the ability to attract a mastermind. Now, just ask yourself, is there anyone in your circle of influence, in your team, your organization, that you can mentor? If you want to become a great mentor, it starts with finding a mentoree, someone who's actually worthy of your time. And if you haven't attracted that person yet, attract that person in the next 7 days. So as you go to rest tonight, spend about 2 to 3 minutes creating a vision of the ideal candidate that you seek to attract to your reality in the next 24, 48, 72, and the next week. Put a time stamp of 1 week. Through your ability to write sales copy, your ability to write posts, your ability to write on LinkedIn, your ability to advertise, your ability to speak, your ability to enunciate, your ability to attract. In your attractor factor, in the next 7 days, what you're asking the universe for is a sign. You're asking someone to show up who deserves to be mentored. You are creating space for someone to show up to create a six-figure income in the next 12 months. You're creating space in your universe, in your quantum field, in your Akashic records for someone to show up who is ready. Ready who is a self-starter, ready to produce, ready to collaborate. You're looking for someone who can come in and LIU, light it up. You're looking for someone who come into your world, your enterprise, your circle of influence, who does not require any hand-holding. Someone you can create relaxed relatability with. Someone you can actually become friends with. Someone you can create an empire, a dynasty, a tribe, a culture, an organization with. And as you begin to feel comfortable with yourself, you'll begin to attract other people who are comfortable in their own self-esteem. As you begin to do that, you'll doubt less, worry less, and you'll start to attract to your reality people who are not as addicted, not codependent, people who have healthy, who are healthy in their emotional state. As you begin to attract that kind of situation, that is what creates the compounded effect. Now, there's also certain situations where you're going to have to go the extra mile. You learn to go the extra mile for yourself, and you go the extra mile for other people. Once again, this is an innate ability to trust your feelings. You have to learn to trust your feelings, not your left brain. You have to be able to trust your feelings, your innate ability to know, that known know, your ability to know what you know without doubting what you know. The more that you know, the less you'll doubt what you don't know. When you know that you know, you spend time in the present. In the present, in that space, that's where you start to create 2 plus 2 equaling 4. Now, on April 1st, it'll be the end of the era. It'll be the first 90 days of 2015 ITB in the books. So you want to have clearly defined short-term goals of what you decide and create by April 1st. Now, when you can have a vision bigger than your problems, when you trust your feelings, you'll be able to attract the type of people that you can collaborate with. I went in 1 year from $100,000 worth of credit card debt to multiple six figures by changing what I attract. I started to watch a different type of person show up in my reality. A different type of person started to show up in my lead box. Now, in today's world, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and other forms of social media, in our iPhones and all the phones that we have, our email boxes, and the way that we attract and create our messages, you have the ability to attract through a circle of influence, through the universe, through the Akashic records, through the quantum field, through 6 degrees of separation. You have the ability to attract the type of person that you deserve. There's a huge difference in the stratosphere between deserving and needing. Needing is a future tense term with no commitment. You don't need someone to show up, you deserve it. Deserve means day of service in Latin. When you start to bring your service and your value, you start to raise your value, you start to raise your leadership quotient, you start to raise the level of your vibration, you trust more and doubt less. When you start to live in awareness, love, joy, and bliss, and spend a lot less time being overwhelmed in an anxious, fearful state, when you spend a lot less time worry, and as you begin to release your guilt and your shame, you will begin to attract a different type of person to your reality. And when you start to improve your ability to articulate your words into feelings, when you become very clear in your message, And many people confuse these two words, direct and clear. Many people say to me, wow, you're really direct. And I go, I'm not direct. I am very clear. I know who I am. I know what I deserve. I know what I require. And I know what I'm going to attract. And I have no separation between me and the result. Now, I know this. The result may not show up today, but because of my habits, my discipline, and my mindset, the result that I deserve in a relaxed relatability, in a realistic time frame, and I'm very objective about this, I know that I will have my share of victories because I have paid the 10,000-hour habit about 9 times in my life over a long career. But I used to be so undisciplined, I wanted instant gratification. I want it right here, right now. I wanted a sign. Well, the sign didn't show up because I was too impatient. P-A-T-I-E-N-T, patient. P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E, patience. You have to be patient. The compounded, you know, watch pots never boil. If you put a pot of water on the fire, you typically get impatient waiting for it to boil. You have to be patient. And the law of the harvest is direct reflection of your ability to plant in the spring and reap in the fall. You have to plant the seeds, and unfortunately, most people don't plant the seeds. You know, my biggest problem is leads. Actually, your biggest problem is you don't call them. That's the biggest problem. Well, you don't understand. I don't have any leads. What most people don't understand is the ability to create free leads. Well, I'm not calling those leads. I know. You don't have the guts or the courage because you're so overwhelmed about the outcome that you'll set with your thumb and your you-know-what, getting ready to get ready, and you'll be disappointed. Then you go to the Saturday event. You go to the convention. You go to the rally. You go to the kickoff. You'll get excited, jack sideways. You'll put spray paint on your rust of your motivation, and then Monday you're deflated because you don't have the skills, habits, and mindset. The price must be paid. What does that mean? It means a simple discipline, one day at a time, over a long career. You're not a rabbit. You want to be a hare. You also want to stop looking at people or overnight successes. I have found in my career that there are a few people who are overnight successes. Oftentimes in sports, the rookies of the year have challenges, and they have it called the sophomore jinx. A lot of times when people have instant gratification, they get comfortable. Sometimes a few people get lucky, but I learned I'd much rather be good than lucky. You can definitely write that down. It's better to be good than it is lucky, and luck is when opportunity meets preparation. You must continue to do this. Prepare and execute. And you do that by being competitive. Being competitive is really this. This is my definition of competitive. Being proud of a task well done, of what you created one day at a time over a long career. Compete with yourself. Don't be concerned with being number one. Be concerned with mastering the skills. The skills are what allow you to grow. You can't grow without the skills. The skills, the ability to ask a question, the ability to answer a question, the ability to write effective sales copy, the ability to trust your feelings, the ability to attract other success seekers, the ability to lead by example, the ability to lead from your intuition. These are basic skills that you must master. You're not going to have a quantum leap without the skills. The skills would allow you to attract people to your reality that you can create leveraged income with. Without the skills, you wish, and you can't wish yourself to success. It just does not happen. Discipline 101 and tenacity 102. You must be tenacious about what you do. Ask yourself, when is the last time you actually devoted 8, 10, 12 hours in a day to your craft? Or ask yourself this, when is the last time I realistically devoted a minimum of 2 hours part-time with my ass in the chair to calling leads? Ask yourself, when's the last time you devoted 2 hours to writing sales copy? Ask yourself, when's the last time you devoted 2 hours to creating leads? Ask yourself, when's the last time that you devoted 2 hours to developing leaders in your team? You have to learn to operate in dedicated blocks of time. That requires discipline. That is going to come from being competitive. So there's creativity, there's competitive, and there's compassion. Of the three, the most important, I would suggest to you, is you learn how to be competitive. Being competitive means you're able to sit at your desk in dedicated blocks of time in space that many of you are uncomfortable with because you get the spilkas, you get overwhelmed, you get ants in your pants, you get up, you walk the refrigerator, you walk around the block, you walk fighter around the block, you check your email, you check your phone, but you never really check your ass to see if it's in a chair. Your ass has to be in the chair. All it is a metaphor. It means you're in a stationary place learning the skills. You can't learn how to hit in the outfield. You learn how to hit in the batter's box. I mean, that's arithmetic 101. That's common sense 101. You require dedicated blocks of time. You require stationary places to get good, whether it's your closet, your kitchen table. I don't really care where it is. It can be your car. But you have to be able to master the discipline. You can't play the guitar upside down. You play the guitar standing on your feet. You learn how to play the guitar in a stationary place. I mean, once again, this is common sense 101. So why do so many people lack common sense? Because they've been systematically, robotically programmed to live in their left brain, analytical mind, and they never become creative or competitive. And no one's going to teach you how to be competitive. It's about you. It's having goals bigger than your problems. It's about having a vision bigger than your problems. And it's about developing the simple discipline one day at a time over a long career. And when it comes to goal setting 101, goal setting 101 breaks down to this. Realistic goals measured in a short period of time. Dedicated blocks of time to goal setting. I mean, this is absolutely basic 101 principles. Clearly defined short-term goals. As you begin 2015, you should have a goal for the end of the week, a goal for the middle of the month, a goal for the end of the month, a goal for the middle of February because it's halfway through the quarter, goals for the end of March because the end of March, dedicate the end of an era. That's the end of the first quarter. 90 days, your 90-day game plan will be ITB in the books. This is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, thanking you for being on the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. This call has been recorded, will be officially available by noon Eastern Standard Time, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can access any of the previous calls at calls, calls.goldenmastermind.com, calls.goldenmastermind.com. Anyone who wants to get a hold of me directly, you can do that at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. Thank you very much for being on tonight's Tuesday night call. I'll see you next Tuesday night, and many of you all have the privilege of seeing next Thursday at the Millionaire Blueprint event at the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel in one of those beautiful spaces in America, Palm Springs in the winter. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great evening.